What is up? This is Speak Up, Speak Out. How are you guys doing? Okay, so new episode. We're here. I hope you guys were able to look at the other episodes that are up. Remember, there's 2 or 3 episodes up right now. Go check them out. Go listen to them. Go vibe with them. Also, you know, go get an impact from them as well. But today, I have some special guests in today. So what's up, Lori Shields? How you doing?
Hey.
How you been?
Good.
Okay. Hey, what's up, RC?
Hey, how you doing, man? I'm living.
You living? Okay. How you guys think about the coronavirus?
I think just about enough.
You just gotta put your faith in God.
Okay. So today's segment is about married life. So we're gonna jump right in. So, Mom, have you always wanted to be married, or what impacted you to get married, as well as, you know, being a woman, you know, you're kind of taught at a young age to be married. So tell me a little bit about that.
Well, I wanted to be married and have a family. That was my dream. Okay. So here we are 29 years later.
Okay. All right. Well, that's great. So what about you, Dad? Did you always want to be married, or did you think you were getting married, or
well,
what?
I had an Uncle Raleigh. You know, he was a bachelor all his life. So at first, I thought I wanted to be a bachelor.
Oh,
it's not always what you want to do, you know what I mean? When you live for God, God always sets you up.
Right. Okay. All right. So, Mom, tell me a little bit about your background, like a little bit about yourself. Just like different things of you come from a single parent household, right?
Well, it started that way.
Okay.
So basically, your grandma had me at 19.
Okay.
And it was just she and I.
Right.
For the first 3 years of my life. And then she met this really interesting guy.
Okay.
Charles Smith.
Okay.
And, you know, it was the 70s. So,
right.
You know, they shacked up for a few years, and he did a crazy thing. He took her from Detroit, Michigan, all the way to Anaheim, California. And in Anaheim, they found themselves some Jesus.
Right.
As hippies. So
right.
My dad came home one day, someone had told him about the Lord. And he said, I'm not smoking weed, I'm not smoking cigarettes, and this is what we're going to do. And my mom, of course, being who she is, was like, you can stop smoking, but I'm not. And lo and behold, she, you know, even though she's a Catholic, she became a Christian.
Okay.
And that changed everything, because by the time I was 6 years old, somewhere between 6 and 7, I'm not really sure exactly my age. It would be based on their marriage, actually, the year that they got married. That's how I could determine what age I was. But they went to the Justice of the Peace. I was supposed to be a part of their ceremony, but I got chicken pox. So somebody had to watch me while I itched, I guess. And
right.
My parents went and got married, went out to lunch. And, yeah, that's when it started. So the example that I saw was longevity and steadfastness. There's that song by Kendrick Lamar talking about loyalty. No, nothing like my parents, and nothing like what I learned from my mom. Pure loyalty, undeniable. Well, not even to this day let anybody badmouth my dad, even if he's wrong.
Right.
So that's the stock I come from. And okay. They've been married a long, long time.
Right. So you had still, even though you came from a single parent household in the beginning, you still saw good stuff out of that. You still were able to see how to be loyal, how to take care of a family, how to cook, how to do different things like that. All right, Dad. So what about you, man? How you come from as well a single parent household, how did that affect you when it came to, you know, wanting to, I guess, be loyal to someone and get married to someone and have kids?
Well, growing up, coming from a single house, bunch of females. That's why I wanted to be a bachelor at the time.
That makes sense. I mean, respect.
but the good part about it is all my life, God has always put men of God in my life to teach me, you know, teach me what a man looked like, how it looked. You know, I had men in the church that had longevity in their marriage. You know what I mean? Even if I didn't have it in mind, my grandfather and grandmother was married a long time.
Right.
So, I mean, that was stability right there. They was kind of the ones that, you know, kind of raised me most of my life, you know, until my grandfather passed when I was 5 years old. But all my life, God always put men of God in my life to help me grow, you know what right. I mean, at different stages of my life. And if it wasn't a man of God, then it was my football coaches. Mm. And they took me, and they was married, see what I mean? So then I'm like, oh, marriage is not a bad thing.
Right.
You see what I mean? So it began to develop me, you know, to the degrees like, oh, okay, I seen Uncle Riley be a bachelor, never married. I was like, I don't know if I like that life, you know what I mean? So then that's when I began to look at life, a married life in a different perspective, you know what I mean? So that's how my life was, you know, even until I got out and got in the Marine Corps and stuff like that. I always had that couple, that married couple in my life, you know, that was older than me, and by the grace of God, they imparted in me. So I was like, you know, it was different. You know, some people say pseudo family. That's why I always say the church was always my family, you know right. what I mean? Because it was always there.
Okay. So, you know, how has married life been?
Well, I tell people marriage is it's like, you know, being in the Marine Corps, you know, and going on the Navy ship, it's like seven seas, you know? And what I mean by seven seas is one thing that we have to understand is you got choppy water sometimes. You're going to go through storms. You're going to go through trials. You go through situations, but you know, you want to be committed, you know what I mean? You want to be committed to the vow. The vow is not between just you and your spouse. The vow is between you, your spouse, and God. God being the center of that marriage.
Right.
You know what I mean? So regardless of how your spouse act, you know, you committed to God. You made a covenant with God to death do us part. So one of the things you have to do, if you're going to honor God, you have to honor your marriage regardless of how the other person acts.
Right.
You see what I mean? Because at the end of the day, you vow to God that this is mine. And I don't, you know, so it's a covenant. It's not a contract.
Right.
And the only way a covenant is broken is if somebody die.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So, yeah, you're going to have situations. My first few years of marriage, I'm like, let's change her. You know, I thought I was supposed to be the one to make a change in her. But realizing that I'm not God nor the Holy Spirit, it's the Holy Spirit job
right.
to change her. What he told me to deal, Archie, you deal with you. And when you deal with you, I can deal with her.
Right.
That makes sense?
Yeah.
So a lot of times we get in a marriage trying to change each other when it's not our job. We didn't create each other. How can we change each other?
Correct.
And that's where God has to play the center part of that relationship. You know what I mean? That marriage, he got to be the center.
Right.
Because if he's not the center, you're going to have confusion.
Yeah. I agree with that. What about you, Ma?
Well, you know, your dad's talking about choppy water. Sometimes you find the Leviathan down in that water, too. You know, anytime you put two people together from two different walks of life, in our case, two different cultures, two different styles of living, you know, West Coast versus whatever you call Texas, Central, South, whatever. Excuse me. We were from two different planets, it might as well be, okay? So the one thing that I learned is when somebody tells you, or should I say, when somebody shows you who they are, believe them. Okay. So when I married your dad, I had met him in the most ungodly of places, a nightclub. And on the dance floor, this guy was telling me, I'm going to be a pastor. Well, I was already a little leery of him. For one, I didn't believe he was giving me his real name. Because it was initials, and I was just sure, oh, here's another joker. He don't want me to know his real name, really, kind of thing. And but he has stayed to what he said. So what we often do, just like he talked about wanting to modify me, we all from, and this is just something very common, unless you just really come from an extensively abusive background, we think that our family's way is the right way and that everybody else does it exactly the way that our family does it, which is so far from the truth. Each family is very unique to their family environment, their life, their socioeconomics, etc. But I really thought that everybody's family was like mine, with the exception of the fact that I was a only child. I figured that it would just be bigger, you know, but it was pretty much like the way that my mom and dad did things. When I got with your dad, we were so completely night and day different that I didn't really know how to adjust. I didn't know what to do because I had him having the same level of shell shock, but me having a bit more decorum. I wouldn't tell him that his family was screwed up. I didn't say initially, your family's doing it wrong or whatever. He came in a totally different culture, different way, and was telling me that my family was wrong. So we had this kind of clashing of two worlds. And by the time the clash was already happening, I was already pregnant with baby number one. So we were into some other stuff, you know, not to mention the wonderful United States Marine Corps that I love and respect a great deal. But they didn't issue me to him. They issued him a gun. So they took him away. And so we had the war. We had so many things for such a young people, I should say, including him, for us to deal with. We were two 20-year-olds that had never lived on, well, I can't speak for him, but I had never lived on my own. I came from my parents' house, okay? My car was still in my parents' name when I married him. So it was just a lot. What I learned is that I don't recommend that method to anybody who's young. I feel like you need to come into your own. You need to have some things on your own. It works for some people. I'm not even going to say it worked for us because it was a lot of work. I always say, and your dad and I sit and we laugh about it now, but at the time it was not funny at all. If there was a possible way to do anything, the hardest, most backward way, kind of like parking down the street and having to climb a mountain, you know, to get up to where you need to go instead of just driving to the top of the mountain and parking, that was kind of the method with me and your dad. It was ridiculous. We did everything kind of crazy, but it was ignorance, but it was also the clashing. Instead of us stopping, because we were too immature to understand that that's what we needed to do, stopping and coming together and going, okay, let's set up a plan. We would just do this and that and try to clean up each other's messes. It was like running behind each other with a dustpan and a broom. I would clean up mine. I mean, I would clean up his, he would clean up mine. It was just this craziness. But within that, we have succeeded in having three beautiful, very intelligent, very articulate children, you being the baby of the brood. Okay. We have received tons of education, both personally and in the private sector. We've learned this is our story, and there's so much that we can give to others because of our experience. Like I can teach young people to not do it the hard way. Now, this was our story, but you don't have to have the pain that we had. Right. I can show you a better way of doing it.
Right.
And I tell my own mother, and this is the last thing I'll say, I tell my own mother sometimes, I look back on some of the crazy decisions and some of the things that I did, said, or otherwise at that age group. And if I could go at this age back to her First of all, I'd probably slap her and tell her to snap out of it. Okay. And then I would hug her and tell her that it was going to be okay. And I would give her some suggestions. Do this. Don't do that. But outside of that, I wouldn't change anything.
Hmm. Okay.
But in my part, I think the grace of God is what keeps us together, you know. Because we had we were two odd people coming together to become one. But I'm like, you can't do that without the grace of God. And everybody wonder, not telling everybody when they ask me how y'all been married so long, it's only by the grace of God. It's not, it wasn't her, it wasn't me. It ain't, to me, it's not even loyalty, because you can be loyal to somebody and be separate from them.
True facts.
See what I mean? So a lot of people say, well, yeah, you're loyal. No, it's only by the grace of God that we're still together. You know what I mean? So I tell young couples, you know, hey, have God in the foundation. Make sure a man is a man. You know, be solid. Be that foundation. Know who you are. You know where you're going, where you're headed. Focus on your relationship with God.
Right.
Like I was sharing with another young lady, I say, God, a woman don't mind following a man when he know where he's going.
Correct.
And he's Christ-like.
Yep.
You know what I mean? He looked just like Christ. So we say, man, he following Christ, I can follow him.
Right.
The problem is when men not following Christ and they try to force a woman to follow him. You see what I mean? Regardless of how he do that. Right. That's not a marriage. You know, a marriage is both of you submitting to Christ. Husband loving your wife as Christ loved the church.
Right.
And wife honoring your husband as unto the Lord. So each and every couple has a responsibility in that relationship.
Right.
See, and a man shouldn't even be looking. Adam didn't look for a wife. See, Adam was doing his assignment, his divine purpose, why God created Adam. And Adam named every animal, and out of every animal that Adam named, because he had such great relationship with God, right? God says it's not good for man to be alone.
Right.
So what did God do? Adam, he said, I'm going to put Adam in a deep sleep, and he pulled Eve out of Adam. A lot of men running, looking for Eve when Eve is already on the inside of him. All he got to do is find his purpose, why God created him. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Your wife will be added to you. She already is on the inside of you. See, that's a lot of freedom. The reason why we have so many divorces is because everybody going and look for something when God already know what he ordained for them to have.
Right.
Because what God has for you is for you. It's not for somebody else. You know, so every wife or every rib ain't your rib. Stop looking for a rib. You missing a rib. Your rib is already on the inside of you, because if you look, Eve was already on the inside of Adam.
Right.
And once God pulled him out of Eve, what did he say? Out of Adam, what did he say? Bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. He identified. So that woman was his glory. As man is the glory of God, the woman is the glory of man. So you got to stop looking for it, you know. And if I can encourage you, remember I was talking about the seven C's. You know, I got this from the late Dr. Miles Monroe. He really blessed me. He says, selling the seven C's of a great relationship. Communicate. Always communicate. You got a man and a woman trying to talk to each other. You know what I mean? So you got to communicate with each other. You got to cover one another. You got to cherish one another. You got to comfort one another. You got to compel one another. Consult with one another and cleave to one another.
Hmm.
You know, that's why I said in the choppy waters, if you have all seven seas flowing, then you can go across the storm.
Right.
When I was on the ship, right? When I was on the ship going to Desert Storm, Desert Shield, you know, it was choppy waters going across the Philippines. But sooner or later, we knew that land was coming. We look and we see the horizon, and we knew that land was coming. In every storm, in every situation, in every marriage, it might be choppy water, but land is, the horizon is coming. Right. And most people quit before they see the land.
Right.
But they forget that God made a promise. He said he'll never leave us nor forsake us. Even in that storm of your marriage, God is right there. You know? And I believe the most intimate part of a marriage is when a husband and wife pray together.
Mm.
I like you see that. What I mean? That's the most intimate part of a marriage. Why? Because now you got all three in one.
Mm-hmm.
just like the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, right?
Right.
So now you got three in one together. So I say the most intimate part of a marriage is when a man and a woman can pray together. They drawing from their source.
I agree with that.
See, but we think the most intimate part is the sexual part, but that's not. The intimate part is you coming together, praying together, and the sexual part comes after that.
Right.
That's spirit to spirit. So I'm just saying marriage can be wonderful if we keep it where it belongs, in the spirit, not in the flesh. And it's a difference between lust and love.
Right. A lot of people don't know that, though.
See, because just because you lust for your wife, right, that's of the devil. But if you love your wife, you're going to love her as Christ loved the church. So you don't serve her, right? You know, because lust is always taken, never given. Love is always given. Mm-hmm. And see, most people get in a marriage and they lusting out to each other. And they'll never grow from lust to love. You see?
Right.
Because, so love always give, lust always take. So you got to ask yourself, even if you're married today, am I loving my spouse or am I lusting after my spouse? Because in a relationship where you love one another, you're trying to outdo each other. Who's going to outgive who?
Right.
So it's like an inner competition, but it's in the spirit. Because right. God is generous, so you both going to be generous of each other. That makes sense?
Yeah. Mom, what's your advice for people that are, wanting to get married or single right now? And do you give them advice to pray about what they want, where they want to be?
First of all, for people that are believing that they want to get married, I'm a big advocate of premarital counseling.
Okay.
So, and I'm not talking about a quickie, just a week before the wedding kind of counseling. I'm talking about like a year ahead, actually getting into some stuff, because, we all have a history. We all have a background of whatever. It could have been abuse. It could have been sexual abuse. I mean, that's some of the extremes, but also just communication styles and love styles. You are not going to know these things until you're behind closed doors and it's just you and that person. Also, how do they like to live? Do they like their bed made every morning? Some people, there's like quite a few different things, anywhere from dietary practices, what you eat, how you eat it, especially when you're merging cultures. But even if you're not merging cultures, you can take, like, for example, two Black people, one California, one Louisiana, you got a whole different party going on there, okay? That Black person coming from California could be a vegan, just the way that we do what we do, anywhere from that to a junk foodaholic. And the Louisiana person might be the vegan. Who knows? But things like that, these are things that can be actually worked out and hashed out in counseling. And a lot of people, at least back in my day, and I'm thinking it's common today too, would run from counseling. Certain cultures don't even utilize mental health because they're freaked out by it. They see it as mumbo jumbo. But really, it's about sharpening skills, communication skills and stuff like that. I was raised in a house where I had to make my bed before I went to school, for example. I was expected to sit with my parents and eat breakfast, and I took my lunch. And then when I came home, I was expected to sit and eat dinner with my parents, and we had a kitchen table and stuff wasn't supposed to be on the kitchen table. There's like things that sound very idiosyncratic that, people are going to say that's no big deal. Let me tell you something. You're with somebody a few years, it starts becoming a big deal when you get up in the morning, you trip over their shoes going to the bathroom. You go to come home and the bed's all jacked up and they're already laying on the bed because their tradition was to hang out in the bedroom. you know, there's like different things that you think are no big deal, but it wears on you. Also, you know, do you use one? I mean, just silly things. It sounds silly, but using one cup, or do you keep getting a new cup every time? You know, just stuff like that.
Right.
That can be hashed out in premarital counseling. So my advice would be to definitely dive into that. And shoot, you might end up postponing the wedding, or you might even push it up earlier. Who knows?
Right.
By what you find out. It's not negative exploration. It's positive.
Okay. What about you, Dad? For the single people that are wanting to pursue marriage, or that have not even, they're just single during this time, what advice do you give them to do during this time?
Well, my perspective is know yourself.
Right.
Know what I mean? Know who you are. And another man or another woman can't tell you who you are. You got to go to your creator.
Right.
So, I mean, my whole thing is number one, know why God created you.
Right.
You know? And once you find out why God created you, always go to God and say, God, is this the one? Pray, keep God in the center of everything. He's got to be the center of the choices that we make. The reason why we get in a lot of situations because we don't include God in it.
Right.
In this time, if I was single and wanted to be married, what I would do is keep my relationship horizontal. So my relationship vertical would be automatic.
Right.
So I mean, because if I'm spending time with him, he already know the people that's coming in my life, and he already picked out the woman for me, right, the rib for me. So I'm not trying to do it in the flesh. A lot of times we get married out of the flesh and never out of the spirit. If that makes sense.
Right.
So I spend more time seeking God and hanging out with God, really getting to know God, so I know who I am. So when I meet that woman or the man, whoever, you know, if it's a man that's going to marry a woman or a woman that's going to marry a man, I would already know who I am. I know where I'm going.
Right.
So I'm not losing step. What she doing or I'm doing, we're coming alongside of each other and going in the same step.
Right.
That makes sense?
Yeah.
That's what I would encourage them.
Okay.
And for females, you know, don't go looking for him. Let him come to you.
Right.
You know, and save. And another thing is just save yourself for a marriage.
Right.
You know, that's a precious time that's between you and your spouse that you can't get back.
Right.
And you want to keep it holy, you know, holy between you and him, or you and him, you and your spouse together. You know what I mean?
Right. I agree with that.
And then that brings unity.
Right.
And love and peace, and you don't have to go through the turmoil that a lot of us put ourselves through, because we don't wait until that moment. God ordained it for a reason, to be shared in holy matrimony.
Right. I totally agree with that. I remember when I was younger talking to you, you told me a crazy example, but it stuck in my head for like a long time. The example of, or it was somebody else, I actually don't know, but I feel it was you. You usually give me some crazy examples when I ask them. You were talking about how, like, could you imagine being at the altar?
Oh, yeah.
And, like, you're about to get married, you're in love with this person, and every person that you literally had sex with, that you, whatever with, stood up and was like, hold up, stop the press. I thought you married me because you told me that every single time you give your body to another person, you rip off a piece of your heart to each person you have sex with. So by the time you get to whoever you're supposed to marry, you can't even fully give them yourself because you were too busy trying to be fast during a certain time that now you're trying to get married and you can't even, that person don't even know you. Everybody else know you very well because you had sex with everybody else. And everybody else is wondering why is he different than I am? Because you had sex with them, so why is he different? Why do you get to marry him, but you couldn't marry me?
Right.
So when you gave that example, it stuck with me. And I used to, when I was younger, I used to give people that example. And they used to be like, oh my gosh, like, I need to knock that stuff off. I was like, yeah, could you imagine that? Could you handle that? some of those relationships?
Because every time you have sex outside of marriage, you're saying, I do.
Right.
Spiritually, you're saying, I do.
Right.
So when you stand that day and you want to, you stand that day in marriage and, you know, the priest asks you or the pastor asks you, you know, and you say, I do. And everybody stand up. You said, I do to all men.
Right.
So how did he know which one you married to?
That's deep. Woo! It's okay. We're going to have a whole episode on sex. If you want to come into that, Dan, bring some heat. But thank you so much for coming through, RC. I'll see you soon, man. Live your best life. I heard you got to get back to work, so handle your business. Thank you, Mom, for coming through. I had fun. So, like I said, this is Speak Up, Speak Out. Just to let you guys know, next episode, you do not want to miss. I'm having an influencer come in and talk to you guys about what she's doing in her community, as well as what her job is, her business is, what she's moving with. She's as well a teacher, and I'm super happy and excited for her to come through. So do not miss out on that episode. And also, don't miss out on the episode after that, because we're going to be talking about sex. Y'all just got a little sneak peek of what the heat is going to bring on that conversation. So thank you so much for coming through. We love you. This is Speak Up, Speak Out. And what y'all know the thing, right? Come on. Y'all gotta learn it, guys. Come on. This is Speak Up and Speak Out, and we're out.